Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts. Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. This is Pastor Adams with Pastor Reed, once again looking in the book of Acts. Those of you who have been following along, we're in chapter 17. We're moving through the book of Acts, and we're in verse number 22. Paul is in Athens, and he's preaching the good news, and the people in Athens were very religious, and they loved to hear all these new kinds of concepts and thoughts, and so they want Paul to preach to them.
You know, it's interesting. You get talking philosophy with people, and people that really like philosophy,
they love it.
They can just talk. They can just keep talking, and it's a lot of fun to talk about ideas and you know, theories, whatever, and life. Where did we come from? Where are we going? Those are the big questions, and we want answers.
And sometimes today we don't go to the religious people. We go to the political people for ideas in life. It seems like it's a little strange, but in verse number 22, it says, Paul stood up in the middle of the meeting of the Areopagus, and they said, Men of Athens, I see that in every way you're very religious, for as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this scripture to an unknown God. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
You know, just they've got all sorts of amazing monuments to the gods, you know, the god of this, the god of that, the Roman pantheon of gods. And they didn't want to leave anybody out. So I guess they were pretty politically correct back then that we're going to give you one to an unknown god. If you've got a god that we don't know yet, we've got a statue for you.
That's very interesting. You know, we were in Taiwan and we were in the temple and they had three layers in this temple. It was like a three-story building. And there were several temples on the bottom that had different gods there, and of course they had all kinds of gods in every particular level. But they did have on the third level, they had a temple that was to the unknown god.
Wow.
And just like this, like we see here, same thing. And nobody, no name on it, just to an unknown god, just in case we forget somebody.
The highest position?
Highest position.
We know who that god is, don't we?
We do. But nevertheless, they had one like that, and
one,
we were pretty amazed. And this is what is happening here in Athens. They're so religious. And you would think that people that are religious would be open to the gospel message. Because it's definitely a religious message. But if you think about it, there are very few religions. As a matter of fact, I don't know if there's any religion that really talks about God forgiving every sin. Mm-hmm. The Bible is the only one I know of, and they usually gods are not self-sacrificing. They don't give of themselves for you. You're supposed to give for them.
Yeah, you have to sacrifice to please them
because they're
normally pretty angry. You know, they're the wind god, the fire god, the storm gods that are, if they're not happy, you're going to feel it. But here, you know, in Christianity, we definitely have a different view and a different type of God, if you will.
He's a loving God who cares for us so much that he's willing to die for us.
Amen.
And we're coming up on Easter where he rises from the dead. And that is a first fruit of our own resurrection that's coming soon. So I'll tell you, it's pretty interesting. Paul is in the middle of Athens and he's talking to these people and he notices that they're very religious.
Yeah.
And he says, well, you even have this inscription on an altar to an unknown God. Now, what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you who it is.
You know, we love to worship. That's the thing is, he's like, you're worshiping something that's unknown to you, that you have no idea what it is. He said, and like I said, because we have this propensity to worship, there's something within us that says there's got to be something more to this. And we're almost driven to worship. And you go all over the world and people are worshiping something. He says, you've got this unknown God. He said, I'm going to declare to you who this God is that you've been giving your time and effort and energy into.
It's amazing, though, how Paul was very adept at looking at the culture and finding an inroad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he was so good at it. He could look at people's lives and find inroads into their lives to carry on a conversation to help them to begin to think about their own soul, their own creation. And here, that's what he's doing here. Yeah. He says, look, you guys are very religious. You've got all these gods. You've got everything that you could imagine. Let me tell you about this one.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm sure he didn't say this one's better yet. He didn't say that. But yet he does say, why don't you listen for a minute?
Right.
Just open your ears and listen.
And that's what they were there for. I'm sure they perked up. They're going to like, he's going to tell us who this is. So this is a great opportunity for him to be very culturally sensitive to what's happening there. And like you said, see opportunities and make the most of every opportunity.
So he's going to take a redemptive analogy that he sees an unknown God, and he's going to tell him who the God is. And the God who made the world in verse 24 and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and he does not live in temples built by hands. So he starts out with creation. Now, how can you miss? Because there's creation.
Yeah.
Obviously, creation is a huge topic today.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't feel like, well, this just all happened. Creation just sprang up. It's like somebody told me, you take a Rolex watch and you take it all apart and put it in a bag and shake it up. And you think it's ever going to come back together again?
Maybe in a million years.
No, I don't
think
it's
shaking it.
I don't think so? I don't think it's ever coming back together again. So the intricacy that we have, the divine design, if you will, in creation is a starting point to reveal that there is a higher understanding, intellect that put everything together. And that's where he's going to start. He's called him the Lord of heaven and earth.
It's a beautiful way to begin his topic, especially dealing, we remember he was dealing with a group of Epicurean or Stoic philosophers, so had the extremes in philosophical thought and knowledge there. And he comes in and he immediately begins with, okay, here's where it all begins. Here's the starting point. And it's important for us to know the starting point because then we can understand why we're here. So great, just a great start to this unknown God revelation.
Well, and it's actually philosophically pretty cool because if you think about the beauty of the world and all the world the way it is, no man made that.
No.
So he can't, it's not a temple. You can go to a temple, but who made the temple? You can put a god in a temple, but who made the god that's in the temple?
Right.
But you look at creation, who made this?
Who made that?
And look how wonderful it is. It's nothing like anything man could make.
No, the beauty of this world far surpasses anything that our hands can create.
I mean, I every once in a while on the internet, someone sends me an email, and it's got pictures of all the flowers in the world or all the animals in the world and so forth. And they're just so unique in the colors and the designs and how they work together, interacting with each other, and how the beauty of it all. You say, no man has made anything that beautiful.
So we have a God who created everything.
Everything.
And he is the Lord. He rules the heavens and the earth. So
everything. This
that we see that is created and the heavens beyond what we can see, he's the Lord of all. This God, the creator God, is the one who created it all.
And I want you to know who he is. He's unknown to you.
Yep.
You know, you should know this God because look how beautiful things are.
He's revealed himself, you know, the general revelation.
Speaks.
Yeah, exactly.
And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. So here we get back to the whole understanding that if there is a God, you have to serve him. And so he's throwing that out the window too.
Right.
No, it's not you having to serve God. That's not what it's all about.
It's not about bringing offerings of fruits or meats or whatever. You know, obviously the Old Testament had the sacrificial worship, but that was pointing to Jesus Christ, to God becoming flesh.
Correct.
And sacrificing his life for us. And so that is no longer needed anymore. So we don't have to serve him. He's not served by anything, because he gives us life. So now we know where heaven and earth came from. Now we know where we came from. So we have the origin of the universe and we have the origin of humanity. Two great points here starting.
Terrific. And so all of the other gods that are handmade, they're all made by people.
Right.
They live in a temple that's made by people.
Yep.
The unknown God, look what he created. He created everything. Those gods that you know, they ask you to serve them.
Right.
You have to bring whatever you have to them.
Sure.
Now, this God, the unknown God, he really has given you everything.
Yeah.
He's given you life, breath, everything. From one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. So he goes right back to humanity. Where did it come from?
Right.
Where did it come from?
From God.
Yeah. I mean, if you want a God who you make, it's certainly not going to be the God who made you.
Right.
That's pretty interesting.
Isn't it amazing?
It is amazing.
Now we're getting into philosophy and my brain's going to start hurting again.
But Paul is really digging in. He's starting at the very base of everything. He's looking at creation. He's looking at our humanity. He's looking at man himself. He's looking at what you do with your hands and what God really is looking for from you. He wants to do things for you. And so it says, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you've got now, you can know this God.
Yeah.
You can know him. He's unknown, but look, he's everywhere. He's created everything. He's created you. He's done all this. Why? So that you can know him. So he brings them right back, and he gives them some responsibility.
These four verses, 24 through 28, are just
they're packed.
Powerful. They're dynamite. They really are, because out of one man, Adam, he made every nation of men.
Pretty amazing.
And so that we could be here on the earth. So everywhere you look, the people, the humanity, even the races, it's amazing how God even did all that. And listen, I don't have the answer. I don't know how he did it. I just know that he did it.
Right.
And then he determined the time set for them. So he's saying, listen, God's got all of this ordered out. So he's talking about the sovereignty of God, that God is sovereignly in control and nothing is happening haphazardly. There is order to the universe. And it's in God's hands, so that God can show himself. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God, and you and I declare the glory of God because we're made in his image. He did that because he loved us so much, so that we would reach out to him because he's near us. He fills the entire universe, and so he is. All you have to do is open your eyes and see this unknown God is the one who created it all.
Now, this last part that we read kind of is a little interesting because he actually says he's determined the exact places where they should live.
Yeah.
Now, when I think about that, the exact places where people should live, I see how America and the rest of the world is moving away from God. I see how challenging it is because they have lost a moral compass. They don't even know what right and wrong is anymore. And so we see a migration of people that we probably never have seen quite before, like now, because if God says this is the exact place you're supposed to live, no, I don't want to live there. I want to live somewhere else.
Right.
And so bingo, they start moving to America.
Yeah.
They start moving to other places. So it's pretty interesting that when we see a lack of supernatural understanding of who God is and who you are, you lose control of much of life, not only a reality of who he is, but who you are and where you should be and what you should do. You just lose it.
Yeah. It's amazing. Once people disconnect from God,
everything falls apart.
Everything falls apart. I think you've said it before that in the end of days, there's going to be a collective madness.
Yeah.
Turn on your, open
TV.
Up your phones, turn on the TV, listen to the news. There is a madness that is sweeping across the world.
Yeah, it's across the world. And, I read something the other day about Russia, about Putin, what he said, and it was pretty sound, actually, is what he was saying. So America is off in the left field, and the Russians seem to be thinking a lot clearer.
Wow.
He says, if you come to Russia, you got to speak Russian.
Yeah.
If you come here, you learn our culture. You become a Russian.
That's not very nice.
Yeah, well, he's not very nice.
He's
anyway,
not a very nice guy.
But he's telling them that if you want to come here, come. If you want to stay there, stay there. But if you're going to come here, you're going to be this.
Right. Imagine that.
Don't try to change our laws.
Yeah.
Adapt to them.
Yeah.
We're not adapting to Sharia law.
Right.
You come. You can be here as long as you become a Russian.
We welcome you.
Speak Russian.
Yeah.
Speak Russian. Yeah. Don't try to change us.
Here's our culture. Here's our language. Assimilate into here.
Yeah, this is the place that if you're going to be here, this is where you got to live.
Yeah.
But see, today it's not. It's just do whatever you feel like doing.
Wow.
It's crazy.
It is.
So here, Paul, he's really addressing these philosophical issues, and he's doing a great job where he begins. I'm amazed. I don't always look at it this way because you read through it so quickly. But the apostles laid such a great groundwork when he looked at creation. And I think we find also that in the book of Acts, book of Romans, Paul deals with this also. He talks about how creation speaks about the glory of God.
Sure.
And so he starts there, and then he goes to look at all the things man made, and then look at what God made, and then look at how God created the earth and the people that live in it in every place and the exact places for them to live. And he says that God did this for a reason, so that you would see his marvelous, marvelous handiwork and that you would seek him. Mm-hmm. And if you would seek him, you'll find him. That's what he's saying, because he's not that far from you.
No.
Because you got a place that says unknown God. So you're close. You're close.
You're right on the edge.
You're right on the edge. Come on in.
He's right there. You know, it's like God's knocking on the door of your heart saying, you know, I'm here.
But they don't see.
No.
Can't see. For in him, he says, we live and we move and we have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Now, he goes right to the poetic culture within this place in Athens.
Paul's a well-read guy.
Unbelievable.
Paul is just amazing culturally, like I said before. Just what a wonderful passage about being culturally relevant. He's just got Athens. He's just gone there. I don't know if he'd ever been there before, but he's definitely been trained well, schooled well, because now he's quoting poetry that these people are familiar with, either the Epicureans or the Stoics. I'm sure they've all read it. These philosophers have read this poem. And what an amazing way to just kind of enter in and say, you know what, in him, in God, in this higher being, we live, move, have our being, we are his offspring, just tying in something that they can relate to and really bring it home for them.
Yeah, it's truly amazing that you can point to something where your own poets have recognized, you recognize the fact that who God is,
right,
that we are apart from him. We have come from him. We didn't come out of the blue. We were created.
Yeah.
We're part of God himself. And the poets in your own culture recognize this. And that's amazing. You guys haven't recognized it.
Right.
But I want you to know, some people have within your culture. So if you have an unknown God here, your poets have recognized it. You can see how he's worked in creation and in humankind and everything. So he's getting them ready to preach. He's going to preach Jesus.
It's just amazing.
I'll tell you, if you've never really thought about God, this is what he's trying to get them to think about.
Yeah.
Who is God? Who are you? What has God done for you?
Right.
And what should you do on the fact that you are created by such a loving God?
And this Sunday, today,
Easter
Sunday, you're going to see the full expression of God and his love for humanity.
Why don't you take a trip over to Bethany? We're located at 580 Main Street. It's just right off of 57. It's a big church. You'll see it when you go by on 57.
Yeah.
Why don't you come to our Easter service and you'll find the wonderful knowledge that God loves you, cares for you. His Pastor Adam, Pastor Reed, have a great day.